The words of our scripture reading for this morning are recorded in the book of 1 Kings. These are the words of King Solomon at the dedication of the temple as he speaks to those assembled. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would continue to keep us in this faith. Amen. It must have been quite a scene the day that the temple was being dedicated. We're told that many of the elders and the leaders of the tribes and the priests went to get the Ark of the Covenant, and the priests carried it with them as they came up toward Jerusalem into the temple. And in front of them, thousands, maybe tens of thousands of sheep and oxen were being slaughtered repeatedly as the Ark made its way through the city on up to the Temple Mount area. What a scene that must have been. And following a long prayer by King Solomon, he then comes off of his knees before the altar, we're told, and he turns to face the assembled people who were there, the children of Israel, and he now addresses them regarding the importance of the faith that has been delivered to them and the importance of them staying in that faith and preserving it for their children. He recognizes the great chain of the Lord's church and the links in that chain through the generations. Many years ago when I was in a sculpture class in college, I remember a young man was taking a long piece of wood and carving it into links in a chain and trying to make sure that each link would be strong. And each one had to be hand-carved and made strong enough to hold the rest of the weight of that chain. God is the one who has hand-carved the chain of his church. Each of the links, each of the believers who comes to faith in Christ has been hand-carved by the work of God himself. Solomon, in his words, talks about that the Lord is the one who inclines our hearts to him. Coming to faith in Christ is something that God himself works in us. It's not the working of man. It takes place in us, but God is the one who goes about this work. Because our hearts by themselves, my heart and yours, because our hearts are not inclined to God, actually declined away from him by nature, God is the one who has to do this work on making us part of his church, on carving us out as a link in the chain of his church. Sometimes when therapists or counselors have to deal with somebody who has a problem and they're needing to kind of face up to that problem, they have to get a good assessment of that person's condition, they will often ask someone else to come in with them who knows them well, maybe a spouse or a parent or a sibling, because they know that quite often when we assess ourselves, we tend to exaggerate in the positive direction, and we tend to not be quite as honest even with ourselves. It's because of our pride. And the same is true to a much greater degree when it comes to our spiritual lives. We have a tendency to overestimate the goodness that's in us. And so God himself is the one who does the assessing of us. And listen to what he says when he looks at me, when he looks at you by ourselves without his help. This is what he says. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. That's God's assessment of us on our own. That every thought and every intent of our hearts by itself is nothing but pure evil. It is bent away from him. No wonder God has to be the one, as Solomon says, to incline our hearts toward him, to bend us in his direction through faith, causing us to realize our sin, to realize we'd have no hope of going to heaven if he didn't come to rescue us, and then to grab on by faith to the wonderful work of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross to atone for every one of our sins, so that you are now completely forgiven and righteous before God. And by faith in him, you now have the hope of heaven. This is the precious faith that God uses to carve out each link in the chain of his church to cause us now to become part of this great continuum of his believers in the world. We're told that the Lord calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. This is his doing, it's his work, it's his creative activity to cause us to be part of this chain. And Solomon is now saying to us, to those assembled, and his words are just as true to resonate with us today, that we should look over our shoulders in history at those who are in this same chain that have brought the gospel to us, those fathers, spiritual fathers in our lives that brought us to know about Christ and the hope of heaven that we have in him, and to be grateful for that part of the chain, but then also to understand and never underestimate the significance and the importance that we play as a link in that chain to future generations. The challenge is that each generation in this chain of the church feels a great pressure to soften itself and to kind of cave in to the beliefs and attitudes of society. And it might feel easier at the moment to do that. It might feel more beneficial and so on to kind of concede a little bit to our culture and to our society, which puts great tension and stress on the faith that we have been given. But it will never benefit anybody to have one link in the chain go soft and go weak. It's important for each one of us individually to understand that in our future families, in the kids that you're going to raise, and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, the link that you provide to the future church is essential to stay strong in your day, to stay bold in confessing the truth of God's word. And if you want a little lesson in how important and significant that is, do a little study in church history right here in the United States in the last couple hundred years. Just look at denominations that years ago used to possess and love and stand up for that truth, but they softened their confession, they softened their beliefs, and they began to cave in. And they ended up delivering to this generation nothing, absolutely nothing. The faith has been lost. How crucial each link in the chain is in our Lord's church. The children of Israel in Solomon's day, they were a very small nation, and they were looked at as being very weird and very odd in the realm of religion. But you see, confessing the truth in the world is not about numbers. It's about faithfulness. It's not about popularity. It's about staying with what God wants. And each link in that chain will feel the tension of the world. There is a price for confessing Christ in your day. St. Peter recognized that in the courtyard. Stephen recognized that and demonstrated that as he was being stoned to death. Thousands of martyrs in the chain of the church have experienced that tension that has been placed on them. A number of years ago, a pastor who serves a tiny little group of believers in Latvia wrote a letter to pastors here in the United States. And it was a beautiful letter, but right at the end he closed with this line, and I just loved how he put it. On the last day, Christ will not ask us how many we are, but how faithful we were. How fitting and true Solomon's words to the children of Israel that day, thousands of years ago, how fitting and true those words still remain for us today, who are heirs of the Great Reformation. Hear them one more time. May the Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word. Amen.